This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 302, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So, yeah, I think the games Monday are happening. And it's unfortunate that the doubleheader has to be done right before the playoffs start. And that's really the one thing you can focus on now, because we could talk about all the things they should have done. And, yeah, I mean, it sounded like the Braves didn't want to move stuff, which is embarrassing. Major League Baseball, I believe, had the right to overrule them, but didn't want to, I guess. I don't know. Here's the plain and I was talking about this with Fliegelman yesterday. Here's an easy one. This was supposed to be a two-game set that was a rain out in April that they moved to this series. Here's a simple, easy one that I haven't heard too many people talk about. When the game was moved, always pick the earlier day. They had mutual off days on Monday and Thursday. Why not pick Monday? Where if it rains on a Monday, you could always move it to Thursday. But as far as I'm concerned, unless Major League Baseball has figured out the flux capacitor, if you don't play on Monday and then have a rain out on Thursday, especially when it's at the end of the year, it makes no freaking sense. Because now they have to move it to Monday. So, like, if they had the foresight, unless I'm missing something, they had mutual days off on Monday. Why not schedule the game Monday? I don't care where the teams are coming in from. Make sure you get the game in. This way, if you schedule the game for Monday and there's rain on Monday, you have an open Thursday, especially when it's the last week of the season and there's not a lot of time to figure this thing out. So the game should have been scheduled for Monday from the beginning. And it could have been moved. You saw a hurricane coming. You could have been smart enough to move it. They didn't. But now moving forward, forget that. I can't go back in time and help and hold Major League Baseball's hands throughout all of it. They need to move the start of the playoffs to Wednesday. Like, I was at the Yankee game. I've been looking for it. I haven't seen anything. That needs to be announced, like, immediately. Now, what we have heard is that they're not going to play the games for game's sake, which makes plenty of sense. I don't even think for seeding. The games will only be played if it determines who's in the postseason. Like, they won't just, if the Diamondbacks don't win another game and play themselves out of the playoffs, the Yankees and Braves won't play these two games just to see who determines the second and third seed. Because why would you even play the players? Like, Major League Baseball would have to be smart enough. The Mets would be silly to throw their best pitchers or anybody who could help them in the wild card series just to get a matchup. So I think at this point, the Braves would end up being the second wild card and the Mets would be the third, because right as of right now, as it sits, the Braves have won 6 of the 11 contests. But if those games matter and you have to play 2, and I know there's a chance they'll only have to play 1, right? If the Mets go in 2 games up, they win that first game, cancel the second, and away we go. But there's a chance they have to play 2 games. There is no good reason why they can't move that game to Wednesday instead of Tuesday. You cannot ask either the Braves or the Mets to play two games, use all of their pitching staff, because remember, they're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now doubleheader Monday. You do not have a pitcher for Tuesday. And I understand the idea of, hey, go win your division then. But this was, it's literally an act of God that put him in a position where they won't have a rotation. It's completely unfair to go send them to a team that's waiting, having their pitching all lined up, and literally not having a starter for them. So Major League Baseball, at the bare minimum, has got to allow whoever wins this game to play, or whoever wins coming out of this doubleheader, whoever's the wild card, has to allow that game to be played on Wednesday. Anything, if that doesn't happen, it's an embarrassment. 888-808-1019. But I got to admit, and, you know, I actually heard Keith as I was getting out of the car. Because then when I got here, I parked the car a little far away because the timing's different. So I had to get in the car and drive back over here. Not that you care about any of my mishaps and trials and tribulations trying to get here. But I was getting out of the car and they were talking about the Astros and the hubris of Yankee fans who want the Astros. I fear the Astros. I have a healthy fear of the Astros. I believe they are the biggest threat to the New York Yankees making it back to the World Series. They have been for years. I think they still are today. They got two lefties at the top of the rotation. That scares me. I want to make sure that the biggest reason I want to see the one seed is to make sure that's in a 7-game series and I don't have to face those two guys four times in a 5-game series. No doubt. I consider them the biggest roadblock, fully admitting that there are many roadblocks and that any team would give me a healthy scare because I don't trust this Yankee team necessarily to play their best game. But that doesn't mean I'm afraid of them and don't want to play them. Like, yeah, I have a healthy fear of them. By no means am I beating my chest saying, I want the Astros because I know we'll walk right through them. No, I'm terrified of the Astros. But I want them because I want revenge. I want them in some ways. I'm fine if I avoid them. I am, I suppose. I'm fine. I want to win a championship. And that doesn't have to be at the Astros' expense. But I want Jose Altuve to know the pain. We'll never get even because it's been too much. Too many years. Too many victories over the Yankees to ever get even. But I need that son of a gun to feel it once. I want him to experience one time sitting there in the dugout watching the Yankees celebrate as he has to go home. And he's won championships and they beat the Yankees a bunch. It'll never be even, but I need him to just know what it feels like. I want that desperately. I really do. And I think that parlays to how a Met fan should feel a little bit. I know you want to get in. Don't get me wrong. You want to get in. However that happens, if you can win 3 games against Milwaukee and get in, great. But don't be afraid of it. Don't you want to send the Braves home? It'll never be even. 98. 99, 2001, all the years Evan and Tiki were talking about yesterday. Like, I get it. It'll never be even. But don't you want that fan base to know for once what it's like to have the Mets put them down? To have the Mets end their season? Don't you want to know what that feels like? Don't you want them that, like, isn't there a part of you, and especially in this team that's played so well this year and a banged up Brave team that isn't good, don't you want to show them you're better and that you're not afraid and that no matter the rain, the weather, act of God, it doesn't matter. Nothing is going to stop the Mets from being better than the Braves this year. Are you afraid of them? Sure. Do the first game of the series make you even more so? Absolutely, I understand it. But don't you want that smoke a little bit? Don't you have enough faith in this team and the way they've rebounded and the way they've played to go take on this Brave team and put them out of their misery and send them home when they're supposed to be the best team? You know, they've won the division how many years in a row? And I know they've had injuries, right? Riley's not playing. Acuna's been gone for a long time. But if I'm a Met fan, I don't know if I want to get in, but I don't want to run from this. I don't want to go in like just praying to the good Lord above that somehow I get to avoid these two games. I want to stick it to them. 888-808-1019. Joe in North Babylon. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. About the Mets.
Yes.
I totally agree with you. I'm a big Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of days ago, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, God, this series is going to stink. But now that I'm thinking about it, and this is a bad comparison, so if you hang up on me, it's fine.
Okay.
But the Red Sox in 04, who were their biggest nemesis? It was you guys.
Sure, it was the Yankees.
And they took you down. What's our biggest nemesis? The Mets' biggest nemesis in the National League is the Braves. I'm not scared anymore. I want Monday to happen. I want the doubleheader. And let's go beat them.
All my friends
want to run away from it. And I'm like, let's go. I don't care who pitches. I don't care who, whatever. Let's go beat them. That's it. And let's slay the dragon like you said. And you said it very eloquently. You have to. This is why the Red Sox have been so good. I know they were bad this year, but.
Yeah, that's right. Eliminated from playoff contention, Alex Cora.
Yeah. But listen, let's slay it. Let's get to Monday and just beat them.
I'm with you. And let's be honest, the other thing that I didn't mention, obviously the doubleheader gives you the chance, the break gives you a chance to not have to do it, but it also gives you Lindor playing a little bit. Where I know Lindor was in the lineup, but first came back, you know, who knows? Now you get a series where Lindor gets to play and maybe, you know, get his timing back a little bit, see how he's feeling. And he'll be the better for it come the two games against the Braves where you feel you might actually have a better Lindor. So that helps you too, no doubt. And it gives him another 2 days to heal up for these games, no doubt. So that helps the Mets as well. But, yeah, I don't want to run from it. I really don't. Because this, I mean, there's that level where, and I understand that point, and because, you know, we've made that point that they needed, if they were going to win the World Series, they needed to break that curse first. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the way it went down. But if the Mets are going to do something special, like, put it this way.
Runs on 10 hits over 3 1/3. Mets and Braves.
Oh, thank you very much. It's okay. Happens to me all the time. Back when I ran the board. Let's put it this way. If the Mets are going to win the World Series, does it help them if they do this and end the Braves' year? Does it make them any better? Do you think you gain momentum from doing it? What's more likely? The Mets avoid the Braves, get into the playoffs and go on a run, or the Mets go through the Braves, slay that dragon, do something no other Met team has been able to do for 20-plus years, and be able to ride that emotion of taking down the nemesis into the postseason? Like, what gives you a better chance to win? Does it matter at all? Because I would say, if you beat the Braves and do something that no team has been able to do, no other Met team has been able to do, and you answer the questions of 2022, and you go in there feeling like, hey, I just took down a team we haven't been able to do. I just did something we haven't been able to do in forever. You might feel better than, hey, we beat a Milwaukee team who didn't really need the games or give a damn, and we were able to avoid that team that now we still think we can't beat, that everyone will say we can't beat, that you had one game against them and you blew it, and then the only reason why you're here is because you were able to avoid them. Or do you want to go take them down and head into the postseason being victorious before you get started? I'd rather be that adoration of the Mets that beats the Braves heading in. Brad Mineola, what's up, Brad?
So, Chris, first off, Seahawk pride until the day I die. You graduated from Cary, right?
I certainly did, yes. And if you haven't heard, I was Athlete of the Year in 2001. I don't know if anybody told you. But I was captain of the baseball team, captain of the football team, captain of the basketball team, and I was all-county football player. So.
I graduated from Cary in 06.
Okay, yeah, I'm a little older than you, but I was there.
So
it's been a long time now, even for you.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
It's a very long time, even for me.
I know, even for you. It's crazy. I, you know, not to get into this, but I have a cousin. My cousin Nicole just turned 30. And I remember the day she was born. I remember going to the hospital. I remember my uncle handing out. I remember my uncle handing out cigars. I remember it. Not to me, of course, but like I just remember that moment. And to say that I vividly remember, like the day it happened and the car ride to the hospital. Like I remember exact moments of that day, and it was 30 years ago. My goodness.
I know, Chris. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Well. Here's my thought process with everything.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm 36 years old. I've lived through crying as a kid
Yep.
in 98, 99. Like, every time we go in there, it's anguish.
Yep.
And watching that game the other night, you see Alvarez and Seve trying to make that play to go to first base, and the guy gets to second, the double happens, and that inning just gets away from them.
Yep.
It's just something that always happens against that team. There's always something that shouldn't happen that does. And what worries me about Monday, I'm hoping the God that the D-backs get swept and we have to play one game. But I do agree with what you said. If this team, if this 2024 team, which has all of the makings of a Phillies 2 years ago or a D-backs a year ago.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, they have all the makings of those teams.
Yep.
We have to slay the dragon.
I think it would help. I don't know if you have to, but I would – I honestly think this. I honestly would be more fear – if I was the rest of the National League or just – I would feel like the Mets have a better chance to do it if they slay the dragon, then avoid and beat a Milwaukee team that didn't pitch their pitchers and, you know, was getting ready for the postseason and you were able to avoid it. Now you head in. And then again, what if you meet up with the Braves? Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. What if you end up meeting up with the Braves? Now, how do you feel about it? I mean, now you feel like you have to avoid them.
I mean, listen, the other comment that you made that the league has to make a decision and they have to. They absolutely do, because the way it's looking, the Mets are probably more than likely going to be the sixth, and if that occurs, then Milwaukee. But if they end up being the five, they're going to San Diego.
Yeah.
How do you play all weekend, two games on Monday, and then expect them to fly cross country and have any chance of winning game one?
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why the game's played at 1 o'clock and to give them time to fly out to San Diego. But yeah, I agree. That would be ridiculously unfair to whatever team that had to be, whether it's the Braves or the Mets. It's ridiculously unfair. So they have to move the game. If they don't, like, honestly, if they don't move the game, it's literally malpractice against the sport. Now, it doesn't mean the Mets can't win. It doesn't mean the Braves couldn't win, but it would just be a disaster. They would have to do it. You're right. Think about that. You have to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then you got to play a doubleheader on Monday. You've went through all of your pitching. You have none for Tuesday, and you got to fly all the way out from Atlanta to San Diego to play a game on Tuesday. That's ridiculous. Joe in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris, love you, show, man. Love you. I think you're the best.
No, thank you, buddy.
Honestly. But, C-Mac, seriously, what did you think before that series when the Mets dominated the Phillies at Citi Field? I mean, that was without Lindor. Did you think they could do that?
Without Lindor, I did not. I figured a split at best, I have to admit. Yeah.
Exactly. And they wound up with that. I mean, you know, I hear a lot of these Mets fans, it's they lost the first game. I mean, they're due to lose a game. Mm-hmm. Lost the first game in Atlanta. I hate Atlanta. I really do. But I think they're going to be okay. I mean, I don't want them to back into it like you said, with Milwaukee, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I don't like that term. I'm not, I don't mean to... I understand what we're talking about, but if the Mets go out and sweep Atlanta, sweep Milwaukee, it's not backing into it. I mean, they've earned it. They've played extremely well for a long time. I don't want to say backed in, but it's avoiding games you're afraid of. I don't want to make it seem like the Mets are afraid to play Atlanta and that the franchise would do a collective, like, thank God we don't have to go do that. Why would you be afraid to go play Atlanta? You've been better than them. You've been better than them for months. Go prove it.
See, Mac, I agree with you 100%. It just, you know, that's what I want them to do. And I hope it happens. I mean, this is different thing. I'm 54 years old. Mm-hmm. I've gone through, my greatest thing was 86, and I was 16 years old at the time.
Sure.
And I really, as a Mets fan, I hope it comes to fruition with, I think things are going to be okay. And we'll see. We're still a game up on them.
The Mets, Joe, by no means. And I don't want to make it seem like the Mets fans don't think everything's okay. I mean, I don't know how Mets fans feel. Call me up and tell them. I would think you're okay. You're a game up. You're a game up going to play a Milwaukee team that doesn't care. Like, you should. If the Mets blow it in Milwaukee, forget about it. But I just don't think, and it doesn't matter what they do. If they blow it in Milwaukee, they'll still have a chance. There's no way the Mets will be out without playing that doubleheader against the Braves. There's nothing that could happen. The Mets could sweep Milwaukee. The Braves could sweep Kansas City. And the Mets would be two games down and would own the tiebreak if they won both games of the doubleheader. So, like, no matter what happens, at the very worst, the Mets will have a chance to win two games and get into the postseason. At the very worst. So, I mean, yeah, you got to like your chances because at the very worst, the Braves aren't playing those games. They're out. At the very worst, the Diamondbacks are out. The Mets' very worst still gives them an opportunity come Monday to go make a playoff run. So they're in a better position than anybody else is. That's not already, you know, clinched. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm excited right now. I'm excited. And I'm not afraid of anyone. Now, a healthy fear. Like, there's a healthy fear, but I'm not overly afraid. I don't want to avoid. I don't fear anyone enough to avoid them. Bring on the Braves. Go. And my guess is it's going to come down to they need one. Because I do think Kansas City's playing for a lot, and I expect them to play well in Milwaukee. So if they head in there needing one game, you win that first game, you celebrate, you get the hell out of there. Now, what would be funny is, because there would be a scenario where, and this is probably worst case scenario for me, you could possibly, I suppose, head into that two-game set, and the winner of game one would clinch, but you would still have to play game two to make sure you get in over the Diamondbacks. And one team would celebrate on the field after winning game one. Now, they probably wouldn't have a champagne toast because they got to come out and play game two. But there would be a celebration. Nobody would care. That team wouldn't care about playing game two. They'll throw nothing out. But the Mets, say worst case scenario, the Braves win game one and they clinch. And the Mets now have to play game two to secure getting in over the Diamondbacks. And then you lose that game, and now you've been beaten by the Braves to knock you out of the playoffs two different times. But that's not going to happen, Mets fans. They're going to go into that series with a good chance to make it to the postseason, and I expect them to play well. 888-808-1019. Getting to a little Giants as we go, obviously. Tonight, big Thursday night football game. A game that really will dictate, you know, both one and two teams, a game that could dictate the season for both of these teams. And that's what scares me as a Giant fan. 888, we'll get into that. 888-808-1019. And what the Giants would have to do if they do want to pull off the upset. And believe me, it would be an upset. What's the one thing the Giants have to do to pull off the upset tonight at home against the Dallas Cowboys? 888-808-1019. We'll get into it in a little bit. But we'll still take your Met calls, your Yankee calls. Because pennant race baseball is fun, isn't it? It's fun. McMonagle here with you till 5. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So I just saw a stat about Aaron Judge, who just obviously last night in the ninth inning hits his 57th home run of the year. It was a three-run bomb. Gave him 140 RBIs. He is the first player, and they didn't give the player. I got to go find out who it is. He is the first player in Major League Baseball to have 140 RBIs since 2009. So, if all you Yankee fans who are upset they haven't won a championship since 09, how long it's been, think of how long that feels. He's the last player. That's the last time someone had 140 RBIs. The guy is insane. And he's got 11 OPS. WAR. He's got whichever WAR you follow, you care. But he's gotten 11 wins above replacement this year. Him and Barry Bonds, I believe, are the only two players to do it twice. Or at least in the last 50, 60 years or something like that. Like, he is on another level. He is the greatest hitter in the league, bar none. Like, there's no exception. There's no more arguing. Aaron Judge is by far the best hitter in Major League Baseball. It's not close. I know Ohtani, 50-50. He's hitting 320. I mean, he's hitting 320. He's got 57 home runs and 140 RBIs with a 1.1 OPS. He's unbelievable. And last night, he hit the ball hard every single at bat. Even on the ground out, it was like 110 miles an hour. He hit a bullet up the middle. He hit a bullet for a home run. Like, he's on another level. And here's the thing about him, since we're talking about Aaron Judge for a second. There's one thing left. We all know what it is. And I have to admit, I love him, I'll defend him, and I expect him to perform in the postseason. But there is something Yankee fans say that I'm getting a little tired of hearing. What Yankee fans will say is, how many of these Judge years are you going to waste? When are you finally going to put a championship team around Aaron Judge? How many prime years of Aaron Judge are you going to waste? And while, sure, they could do more to put a team around him, obviously, and they haven't done a good job over the last couple of years, but part of that is Aaron Judge actually performing in the postseason. Because I'll tell you right now, if Aaron Judge performed better in 2022, I know they got swept, but if he performed better in 2022, they might have been in a World Series. If Aaron Judge hit like Harrison Bader did in the postseason, they might be in the World Series. Like, I'll defend him, and I don't think he can't be a good postseason hitter. And I'm loving what he's doing right now. 4 home runs in 4 straight games. He went through his little September slump, and now he seems out of it and is absolutely killing the baseball. And that is a great sign and a great sight. And he doesn't have to worry about breaking the record. I don't think he'll get there, nor does it matter. It will be as big a deal if he does. And he hasn't had to carry the team as much because there is Juan Soto there with him. But here's the plain, simple truth, and I've been saying this a lot. We could talk about how many prime years wasted. This team is good enough to go win. And he's going to have to be a major, major part of it. I'm tired of hearing about it. All the prime years they're wasting. He's got to be the guy who helps that too. It's not just like Brian Cashman, for all the flaws of this team and the nature of not going all in, which I agree with, they didn't. They're good enough to win, and Judge has got to have a monster postseason. It is time. The time is now. 888-808-1019. We do have the Giant game tonight. And, you know, I mean, I guess I can give my pick here. We don't really have a pick segment. No Marco, no Fliegelman. Jack on the other side doing a great job, but he's not part of the crew here that, by the way, 4-1 week last week. But we'll get all this tomorrow when I brag to Fliegelman about my excellent week last week and how I'm out front at the beginning of this year in picks. But I'll give you the pick in a little bit, but let's just talk about the one thing that for sure the Giants have to do. Now, if you look back at the Washington game, right, and they had that stat that's crazy, right, where they were the first team in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns and allow 0 and lose the football game. And you talk about all the different things they have to win. Oh, they have to win the turnover battle. They have to win the time of possession battle. They have to win. I never thought I'd have to focus on they have to win the touchdown battle. Like, I thought that went without. I thought if you won the touchdown battle, you really didn't have to worry about any of these other battles. But the battle I'm looking for, I just mentioned. I gave it away. I think it's time of possession. I think that can be directly, when you look at the box score at the end of this game, if the Giants had a very big advantage in time of possession, I think that's what they're going to need to win this game. Because you look at what the Cowboys have played here, they have not been able to stop the run. They don't run the football very well, and they don't stop the run very well. And, you know, as long as they're not fumbling, this Giant offensive line, who to me has proved they could pass block a little bit. I think Brian Daboll this week has got to figure out a way to kind of come up with a run blocking system or come up with a running game plan to make sure they can attack this Cowboys team on the ground and run the football and hold on to it and keep Dak off the field. Because my biggest fear of this game is that Dak is going to go crazy. The Cowboys are 1-2. The Cowboys just got embarrassed. The Cowboys haven't lost a home game prior to 2 weeks ago in 2 years. And now they're coming off 2 embarrassing losses to the Saints and to the Ravens. And the second half of that game, Dak nearly brought them back. And he's walking into a building here with the New York Giants and MetLife Stadium that he is extremely comfortable in and has dominated, and a team that he has owned for years. And you are looking at a team right now that is without Adoree Jackson and without Drew Phillips. And I don't know if you can blitz Dak the way you blitz Watson, because Watson got to a point, and where he is right now, it's, you know, Watson first read and that, and then he tucks it and runs. And if you can make him make a quick decision or have to get off that first read, like, there was nothing else. Like, I don't know if they're going to have the same game plan against Dak, nor would I think it would be as successful against Dak and this Cowboys team. And then the game is really reliant on Burns and Thibodeau getting home and Sexy Dexy getting home. Because right now they don't have the depth in the backfield, the defensive backfield, to throw the blitzes and feel like you're going to be able to guard CeeDee Lamb. Like, I'm very afraid that they are going to make big plays down the field. So the thing you need to see from the Giants is keep them off the field and run the football, long, sustained touchdown drives. That's the only way I see the Giants keeping it close. I think Dak is going to light it up. I think going into this whole season, this is the part of the Giants that scared us all the most, and now they're dealing with injuries, and it's a pissed-off Dak Prescott and a pissed-off Cowboy team. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. I do not have a great feeling about this game for the New York Giants, but that's the only way I foresee them keeping this game close. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Jude and Secaucus, what's up, Jude?
All right, I want to talk about the Giants.
Yes, sir.
We don't know how tonight's game is going to end. Giants are going to be in it the whole time, maybe even get a big lead, and then Dallas is going to have that last drive like they always do in prime time and beat them at the end.
Yeah, I honestly, that's not like you say, like they always do. They got beat 40-0.
Well, I mean, back in 8 years ago,
in the game at MetLife Stadium last year. I mean, they were
like 8 years.
They were outscored 87-6 against the Cowboys last year. So the idea that the Cowboys are going to need a last-second drive to beat the Giants, I mean, maybe you're right. I'm not saying it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I just don't think it goes along with like always, because like always, the Giants get their ass kicked by the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, right. I meant, back to back. But I have an interesting theory about the quarterback situation, what they're doing. I don't know. Maybe it's just kind of a wild theory, but throwing around.
With the Giants?
Yes. Okay. I don't think they're going to trade the farm for a quarterback until Arch Manning.
Say that one more time.
I don't think they're going to trade the farm to get a quarterback until Arch Manning is available. Instead of saying so.
Yeah, well,
they're horrible this year, and they got to go up. I don't think they're going to move up. I think they'll wait another year.
Well, I mean,
if they did that, they should have kept Barkley, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. First of all, you make it sound like, it's just easy. They'll trade up and get, you have to be in a position to trade up. You got to be close enough, means you're losing football games. And you got to have a partner willing to trade it. You need teams with quarterbacks already to be at the top of the draft. Like, that's the issue. So, right now, you look at the teams that are losing, who might be at the top of the draft. Let's look at the 0-3 teams for a second. Like, right now, the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't expect them to continue to be there, but obviously they're not looking for a quarterback. The Jaguars, as bad as it's gotten, I don't know if they'd be drafting a quarterback. They just paid. Now, there's with that contract to Lawrence, the money's not as big now as it is for the next couple years. I think there's an out in a couple years, but still, I wouldn't expect them to be drafting a quarterback. The Tennessee Titans are 0-3. Could you see them, moving on from Will Levis? Yeah, absolutely. The Broncos 1-2. The Raiders 1-2. Raiders definitely would be in the market for quarterback. Denver just drafted Bo Nix. Cowboys and Giants. Cowboys wouldn't be in the market for quarterback, obviously. Bears 1-2 wouldn't be in the market for a quarterback. The Panthers, I don't think, would be in the market for a quarterback. San Francisco, L.A., if you're looking at the bad teams right now who could possibly be there. Now, I know that it's the NFL season. Things change. It's only week 3. Who knows where they'll be? But if you look at teams, would the Browns be looking? I doubt it. Would the Dolphins be looking if this season goes terrible? Maybe. But, the Patriots, if they're miserable, they just drafted a quarterback. So, you need teams to not need a quarterback and be ahead of you in the top of the draft. It's not just, I don't think they'll trade up for the – you have. They tried really hard to move up in this year's draft. But there were teams there who were definitely taking a quarterback. Washington was going to trade out of that pick. They were taking Daniels. Patriots weren't trading out of that pick. They wanted May. So you make it seem like it's just a matter of what year they want to do it. What if Manning is this unbelievable prospect and plays great and is going to be the first pick in the draft? I mean, everybody's going to want him. It's not just the Giants will get him because they had Eli Manning. And that'll be the year they're finally willing to trade up. You got to have a partner. You got to have someone who's willing to trade up. And you got to be bad enough where you're relatively close. Because if you win 8 or 9 games and you're picking 16, 17, good luck moving up to the top pick. Right? That's why... this is all why I wanted to get rid of the quarterback. Not because Daniel Jones is the worst, although I don't think he's very good. It's because I don't believe in him being the winning quarterback they could use or someone who could honestly change the franchise. And now they're stuck with a guy who gets hurt all the time making money, and he'll probably win you just enough games to hurt you moving on from him. It's just a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle that the Giants are in. I'm tired of it. Because honestly, I believe that they're going to be 1-3 after this week. And what are you doing at 1-3? Honestly, what are the Giants doing at 1-3? All right, they had a relatively good performance against Washington, offensively at least, and scored 3 touchdowns and still lost the game to a team that didn't score any. Amazing. I don't know how they did it, but they found ways to lose. And yes, I was rather impressed with their ability to bounce back from the start of the game, the fumble and the touchdown, the way the defense dominated the football game, Malik Nabers and Daniel Jones doing what they did, the offense actually looking functioning and everything. That was a nice, solid, complete victory against the lousy Cleveland Browns. But if they get blown out of this game, which I have a sneaking suspicion they will, what are they doing at 1-3? And how does it serve them to keep winning? It'll still be too early to go into tank mode, and I'll still be rooting for them to win. But if I'm being honest with myself, For what? For what? And I don't want to feel like that because I want to have optimism. I do. They're coming off a good win. They played well the last 2 weeks. Daniel Jones has been very good and solid the last 2 weeks with multiple touchdown passes. I don't want to have this conversation, but it's hard not to think this way when I expect the game to go the way the game is going to go in my mind. And I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping they can run the football. I'm hoping they do dominate in time and possessions. I'm hoping they do have long, sustained drives that end up in the end zone. Maybe Dak gets a pick or, you know, Burns has another strip sack. And they because I have a hard time believing they're going to be able to limit this Cowboy offense. And while they had a good first half against Cleveland and they scored 3 touchdowns against Washington, it's not like they've put up a ton of points. And to me, if they want to win this game, they're probably going to have to score 28 to 30 minimum. And are the Giants capable of doing that? So how do you avoid having to do that as much as possible? You keep Dak off the field. And you have long, sustained drives. And Washington didn't believe that they could do it. Minnesota didn't believe they can do it, and they certainly couldn't. And can this Giant football team go up the field running and go down the field running the football and making plays on third down? And can Daniel Jones continually put out good, long, sustained drives? That's going to be the question. Because I don't trust the defense to stop the Cowboys at all. At all. 888-808-1019. So we'll talk a little football. As the Giants and Cowboys get ready to go to go battle tonight, Thursday Night Football, live from MetLife Stadium. We still are taking your calls on the Yankees and Mets and Jason Dominguez and Alex Verdugo and what the Yankees should do in left field and how I believe that the last 2 nights aren't anything to worry about if you're a Yankee fan, and I feel like the last 2 weeks should be more of an indication on what this team is than the last 2 games. But we still wait for that clinching of the American League East that is absolutely coming. Have no fear. The division, the Orioles have lost the division. They just don't know it yet. It's coming. And so is the playoffs. And so is a doubleheader on Monday for the Mets. So much to talk about. Still have some time to do it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, so a couple things that I found interesting. Shohei Ohtani, who you know I'm a big fan. Big fan of that Shohei Ohtani. Almost as much as Brian Cashman. Love that Shohei. I mean, how could you not? You'd be a fool not to respect the ability. Again, I haven't seen much on it since, but like a week ago, there was a thought that maybe you could see him pitching out of the bullpen in the postseason. So like the dude might come in and pitch in the postseason. He's doing what he's doing. It's remarkable. He's the second best hitter in baseball behind Judge. But I find this story interesting. His home run, the 50th home run that made him the 50-50 player, the first ever in history, is going to auction. And first off, they're expecting the bidding. Before I get to the real interesting part of the story, they're expecting the bidding to be at start at $500,000. I'm sorry, that's nutso. I know we've never seen a 50-50 player. We have seen 50 home runs. Why is this ball worth all that much? It's, I mean, all right, it's the first player to ever go 50-50, and it's Shohei Ohtani. Okay, great. And I love Ohtani. I think he's the greatest baseball player to ever live. What he's done is remarkable. It's on another level. People get hung up on careers. I know he hasn't been doing it long. Like, in the moment, like, nobody's ever played the game of baseball better. So I appreciate this man as much as anybody and what he's doing and how remarkable he is. But why would this home run be worth $500,000? For what? It's not. I know the home run's tied to a record, but it's half of the meaning of it. Like, the ball is only worth half of why it's actually valuable. We've hit 50 home runs before. Judge has done it already this year, too. Like, Pete Alonso has 50 home runs. Why is this? Not to throw Pete under the bus there. How about do something this weekend? Why is this ball worth $500,000? And that's not even the fun part of the story. That's the one I really can't wrap my mind around. But apparently, an 18-year-old fan is suing and trying to get an injunction to stop the auction because he believes he caught the foul ball and that the ball was ripped out of his hands during the scrum and stolen from him. And he believes that that ball belongs to him. And he is suing. Now, I don't know if he's going to try and use cameras, if he's going to subpoena. Like, how do you prove that that ball was yours? I'm supposing he's going to use TV cameras or something to show that at some point the ball was in his hands first. But that's amazing. This kid, 18-year-old kid, is suing, trying to stop this auction because he claims that he caught the ball and it was ripped out of his hands. I don't know. Possession's 9/10 the law. I don't know what kind of case this kid's going to have. But good luck, because apparently it's worth $500,000. That makes zero sense to me. Like, if you would have asked me, I would have said, maybe 20 grand. Maybe if some crazy Otani fan is, that maybe 50 to 100 somewhere in there. $500,000 for a 50th home run? That's crazy to me. I don't know why anybody would pay that. Now, if you can get the bases, if you get both of them, like the home run ball, I don't get it. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about briefly, I'm pumped for this Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix. Now, I know he's come out. I don't know if you're into it or not, WWE. I have to admit, one of the disappointments of one of the disappointments of fatherhood here for me has been how quickly my oldest son, Tommy, has abandoned wrestling. Now, at the time, I was up to my eyeballs in wrestling. It's the only thing he wanted to talk about, the only thing he wanted to watch, the only thing he wanted to do. Every present he wanted was wrestling. We have to watch Monday night. We have to watch Friday night. Hey, can I watch NXT as well on Tuesday nights? Oh, hey, what's AEW? Like, it was just wrestling for like a year. And in the middle of it, I was like, oh, God, enough. How about baseball? You want to watch the game? You want to watch football? Like, come on, let's get into sports. I was begging for it. And now my wish has come true. All he cares about is baseball. You know, last night, I was at the game, but my wife told me he wanted to watch the Yankee game in bed. Mondays and Thursday nights so far this year, we put the football in his room to fall. Like, he's been all about sports and completely forgotten about wrestling. Doesn't care. We don't watch Raw anymore. I have no idea what's going on in it. I don't know what Roman is doing with Cody or anything other, the Bloodline. We don't watch it at all. And for two reasons I feel bad about it. One, I believe my little guy Andrew would still be all about it if his older brother was. But because he's such in the mode of doing what Tommy wants, it's kind of been lost on us completely. And I feel like Andrew's missing out on something that he would still have a passion for. And just, I don't know, the idea that something that was his whole world is now, has virtually zero interest in. We got him in a fantasy football league with like other family, and every day it's like, let me check the fantasy. What should we do? Should we make moves? Like, that's exactly what I wanted. Like, I've gotten what I wanted. He's super into sports. But I didn't know it was going to, like, I almost feel like his childhood in a way is over, that he's completely abandoned wrestling. I feel there's something about it that I don't like. He's zero interest. But I am looking forward to this McMahon documentary because, one, I think bar none, wrestling documentaries, for whatever reason, are as good as any other documentaries on any other sport or a subject. Like, almost, like, there's something about WWE and professional wrestling that makes great documentaries. Like, you watch, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's nostalgia for me, growing up as a kid, loving it and losing it for years and not caring, and I thought I was back into it over the last year, but I've lost it again. But there's something about, like if you want a good documentary and you were into wrestling at all at any point in your life, go to Peacock, go to the documentary, go to WWE and go to documentary, and literally just pick one. I love the Monday Night Wars about the time period where Nitro and WCW was competing with Raw and WWE or WWF back then. That's an incredible documentary. It takes me back to my childhood. But they're all just tremendous. HBO did one on Andre the Giant. Excellent. Like, there's just something about the Ric Flair Nature Boy one, so good. All the different ones, they're just so good. For whatever reason, like, I just feel like wrestling documentaries are always really, really good. And plus, Vince McMahon's a crazy character. And he would do anything. Like, I was watching part of it, or I was watching a clip from it, or maybe a clip of another documentary, and Stephanie, his daughter, was talking about the time that she was pregnant with her and Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, or, you know, Paul Levesque, whatever his name is. But she was pregnant with Triple H's baby. They were together, married, having a child. And Vince wanted to use it in the storyline and pretend that it was his. And she was like, no, absolutely not. What, are you crazy? No. What, are we going to have a storyline that we're in love, Dad? What, are you nuts? Like, that's Vince McMahon. He's crazy. Like, I think the documentary is going to be interesting. I know he's disavowed it and said it's all a bunch of lies and everything. Even more reason to watch. I'm looking forward to it. 888-808-1019, but $500,000 for a ball that, for a number of home runs that a million, like, how many guys have hit 50 home runs? A bunch. Why is this ball so significant? Makes no sense to me. All right. We'll get back to more pressing things, like the New York Yankees and whether or not these two games are an indication of who they are, or should we look at the past 2 months when they've been doing a lot of winning? I don't know. You pick one. 2 months or 2 days? And then, of course, the rain, the debacle that the MLB allowed this to get to where it is, but the Mets won't play tonight. They've been rained out prematurely, or I shouldn't say prematurely, just early. They will play Friday in Milwaukee. And if needed, they will come back for a doubleheader on Monday in Atlanta, right before the playoffs. Hopefully Lindor's back in the lineup. And then, of course, Thursday Night Football, Giants and Cowboys. That's what's on the table for the last hour. McMonagle here with you. I will take your calls on Ohtani, though, if you're there. Limo driver Ed, don't hang up. 888-808-1019. McMonagle with you here until 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. We'll be right back with your calls next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.